6 o'clock. 7 seconds past 6 o'clock, we'll call this Budget and Finance Committee meeting to order. Chair recognizes the quorum. Let's see. All right, I've had one. I guess we'll go ahead and go in order tonight, but I'm going to have our treasurer give us a financial update.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're going to turn with a summary of statement form reports January 1st, and that says 2023. I'm getting better about changing that, but I've got it all the way fixed. That should be January 1st, 2024 through August 31st, 2024. County General Fund, $1,003,588,023.36. County Road Fund, $2,005,966,656.17. County Road Sales Tax Fund, $3,402,4,841,017.25. Animal Welfare Control Fund, $3,404,1,569,585.33. Criminal Justice Tax Fund, $3,407,2,501,964.09. Coronavirus Relief Fund, $1,005,946,175.91. American Rescue Plan Fund, $3,046,6,362,955.93. ARP Revenue Replacement, $1,006,9,343,461.32. Flipping to page two. As you can see here, our revenue is just dead on line with last year. Short of something happening during tax collection, we're going to look at about $14 million, which is where we're, you know, that's what we're projecting. Of course, we'd like to be about 2 or 3% above projections, but it is just lining up to be almost identical to last year. Page three is sales tax for August, $1,208,908.32. That's 3.95% better than August of 23. We are still running 7.99% better than 2023. Like we talked about before, if you adjust that, that's really about 3.5%. It's that anomaly in January that's got us high. If you remember, we were down last month, and we talked about being down a little bit last month. We bounced back pretty good in August, and we'll see that again here on the chart in just a minute. The total sales tax for the year, $9,941,226.62, for 74% of projected at $13.5 million, being, I believe we're about a third through the year through August, 67%, so we're well ahead of schedule there. And if you'll turn to the last page, you see that the three-month moving average has dipped down, it's not much. It is kind of flatlined, but our one-year moving average is up just a tick. It's hard to see on the chart, but it is up, I promise. And so I'm not concerned about the three-month moving average being down. We're just kind of flatlining there. And it's mainly because, like I said, of the anomaly in January. Okay? That's just kind of hanging over our head, that big bump up. So everything else good on the revenue side. And are there any questions?
I see no questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, sir. All right, we'll proceed on here. What do we got here? New business. Let's see. Can I get a motion on Ordinance 24-33?
Mr. Chairman, make a motion that we talk about Ordinance 24-33.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second, and I'm going to bring to the speaking platform here and Administrator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ordinance 2433 is something that you guys have seen a couple times throughout the year. Situation that we have in the coroner's office is Jessica has three, including herself, full-time coroners, and then several part-time deputy coroners. In this case, one of her full-time deputy coroners submitted his resignation and left, and that left Jessica and her chief deputy to run the county. This particular coroner had been with the county for a while, And so it accrued a good bit of vacation time that we were going to have to pay out. Typically what happens is Margaret's team encourages us, because it's budgeted how much we're going to pay these employees, not to hire a replacement until such time that we've, you know, utilized all of their vacation time, so that we don't have to ask for additional funding in this particular department. In this case, though, we really considered this one an urgent situation. And as I was talking to Jessica when she advised me of the situation, and it's a little bit anecdotal, but she was letting me know that back in the day when she and Pat Moore and one of the other deputy coroners were kind of running the county in the coroner's office, you know, they would have maybe five or six deaths over a weekend, and that was a lot that the three of them would deal with. The weekend after this termination, they had 16 that weekend. And so it was really a lot for just for two of the full-time and plus the part-time. So she came to me, and I authorized her to go ahead and hire the third deputy coroner as a replacement. And she said that she already knew that she had one of her part-timers that was wanting to go full-time. But what that does is that does leave her department short as we get closer to the end of the year. So we need to go back and in essence, pay for the vacation time that this employee had accrued. That's what this is about.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
This is not uncommon.
Yep.
We've done it in the past. I believe I did it in my office last year. Others have done it. This is when it comes to the line item stuff, when you come to personal service. This is not an uncommon.
Yep.
Right.
It's not a pay increase. It's not a bonus. It's not anything. It's just
not
making up the difference
here. And that line item will go back to the same it was at the beginning of this year. So just to know, this is not something that's out of the ordinary.
Any questions coming from me? I just as I'm looking at the ordinance, my committee members, do one of y'all want to make maybe an amendment to put just a sponsored by Budget and Finance there at the top? Yeah, it's just blank right now. Yeah.
I make a motion to amend Ordinance 2434 to say sponsored by Budget and Finance instead of sponsored by Personnel.
Actually, 2433.
Oh, mine just doesn't say anything. Mine just says blank.
Mine says 2434.
Mine says 2433.
33.
Back over.
No, you have a
33
here.
Hold on.
Here, take this.
Wrong
agenda.
Wrong agenda. Okay, mine's blank.
There you go.
So we don't need
that
it to change.
Good. We just need to fill in the blank.
The sponsored part.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the sponsored by part.
So make a motion to add sponsored by Budget and Finance to Ordinance Number 2433.
A second the motion.
All right, any discussion on that motion? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Any more discussion on the ordinance as a whole? All right, all in favor of passing Ordinance 24-33 onto the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. All right, next we have, can I get a motion on proposed Ordinance 24-35?
I'd like to make a motion that we talk about proposed Ordinance 2438.
Second.
You're on 38. All right, we'll take out 38. All right. Okay.
Second.
We'll do that one next. All right. All right. We're discussing proposed ordinance 24-38. Just as I understand, most of this, all of this is sheriff's office stuff, and a lot of it is things that are reimbursed. Section 2 is an insurance reimbursement. Section 3 is some training reimbursement. Section 1 is overtime reimbursement from the Marshals Service. And Section 4, I think, is probably the same as that. Y'all have any questions on this? This is one that we're adding to the agenda kind of last minute. It came in. We didn't have... This is actually our only norm. You know, we had normal like appropriations, and this is it for this one.
This got hung up in La La Land till today.
Filter.
Yeah.
You said overtime for the U.S. Marshals.
I'm sorry.
Overtime for the U.S. Marshals.
Yes, ma'am. So we did an operation with U.S. Marshals, so that's what a large sum of the amount are from, and so that's why some of it. Some employees are paid out of county general to work that operation, and then some
This is revenue from the U.S. Marshal Service.
Yes, we've already spent the money.
And we're being reimbursed.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Do you have any more questions on 24-38?
I do not.
All right, all in favor of the motion to pass this on to full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. All right, now we'll move on to 24-35.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we discuss proposed ordinance 24-35.
Second.
All right, we got a motion and a second. I'm going to call on Administrator Higgins again for some explanation.
Here. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before I get started, I did want to make a quick announcement. Judge Dodson won't be able to make it tonight. He likes to come to committee meetings and is usually here, but he's at a conference, an economic conference with the Chamber representing the county tonight, so he asked me to send his apologies. Ordinance 2435. This one's going to be just a little complicated, so I want to try to explain this. So we all know that we are going through a state mandate which requires all PSAPs to consolidate across the state. And so we're working on consolidating that in Faulkner County. And so we have a 911 PSAP board that I serve on representing Faulkner County, as well as the fire chief in Conway, the police chief in Conway, our OEM director, and Sheriff Rob. Serves on the committee. And so one of the things that has been really key for us as county officials is make sure that our county dispatchers are appropriately taken care of and fairly when they transition over to Conway, City of Conway employees. So they'll work through the board, but in essence on the books they will be Conway employees. So there are four issues that impact these employees. One of them is their APERS retirement. One of them has to do with their accrued sick time. One of them has to do with their unused holiday time and their accrued vacation time. So what we want to do is make sure that when they leave our employment, we will be terminating these employees, and then they will be rehired as Conway employees. We want to make sure that we're making them as whole as we possibly can. So of those four categories, APERS, there's not anything that we can do. It is what it is. And what I mean by that is those employees that are not yet vested, when they leave the employment of the county, they will receive their the part that they have invested in their APERS back. So their payroll deduction, like me, I've been here, you know, a year and a half. If I were to leave tomorrow, all the money that I have put into APERS, I will get back. And then I could reinvest that in a 401k, or whatever you would have to pay taxes on, stuff. But the point is, they're not losing anything, but they're not gaining anything out of that either. So those that are not vested, they will just receive their payment back. Those that are vested, and I believe we're talking about two, maybe three employees, they're vested, and then they start to receive additional monies from the retirement fund, and they've accrued a good bit. But the same for them. Their APERS retirement will be frozen. So they don't lose anything, but it will be there for them when they do eventually retire, and they will be able to draw off that. But my point is, there's not anything that we can do to transfer it to the city, to do anything like that. So when they go to city employees, they will start on the retirement program and have to start new vesting from the city. That's just the way the law works on those. So we really don't have any leeway we can do with that. So that's the retirement part. The next part is sick time. So when county employees leave employment for whatever reason, they lose their sick time. They're not paid the sick time or anything. So again, just like every other employee, when these employees leave, whatever accrued sick time that they have, they will lose that. I mean, if they don't use it, they will lose that. All right. But there are two other issues that I mentioned. One is holiday pay, and one is their accrued vacation. When we talk about vacation first, we have a policy, and by the way, the personnel committee, I'll be talking to you about this shortly, but we have a policy that employees can accrue up to 240 hours, and if they leave, we will pay that. So if I were to accrue, say, 300 hours, and I were to leave tomorrow, the county would only pay me 240 of those hours, and I would lose the rest of it. And that's fine. That's how it's always been. The issue is, for both holiday pay and for vacation time, these dispatchers are being terminated, not of their own will, and they're being terminated in a relatively short period of time. We have to have this project completed before the end of the year. So several of them who have accrued over, well, all their vacation time, but over 240 hours, there's not enough time between now and January 1st for them to take all their vacation time unless the sheriff's office wants to send them all home for the rest of the year. So that's the issue, really, that they have this much time accrued to begin with, is because it's hard to do without dispatchers, and when you have shorthanded periods, they have to work. So what we're wanting to do is what this ordinance does, out of the ARP funding that we the county, that you guys have set aside, not appropriated, but you allocated, that money is set aside to utilize for a 911 TSAP integration. So our request is that we take $66,845 for salaries, and then you can see $5,000 and some change for Social Security matching, $5,000 and some change for retirement matching, and that will make these employees whole for their accrued vacation time and their unused holiday pay. And then we talked about, again, is having, it says in our resolution that the Quorum Court passed, that we set aside $750,000. We're proposing at this point that we actually appropriate a total of $500,000. So that would be what I mentioned for these employees, and what's left over for the $500,000 would be $422,560.59, for a total of $500,000 appropriated out of the allocation that you guys provided for 911 PSAP.
So the $66,845 is the total of the unused holiday pay and the vacation pay, it's paying all of that out that those employees have already technically earned.
That is correct. And so that's correct. And so so for here the rest of the year, it's one of the reasons why this one was tough actually getting it on the agenda this month is this is a moving target. So they're still accruing vacation time, and they may still be taking vacation time, not all of it, but a day or two here. We believe that when we ran the numbers, this would be the maximum amount. Probably we'll come back in December and true this up. There may be a little bit of money left over from this, and when we do that, we'll true it up probably in our December regular appropriation. I don't think we're going to come back. I'm very confident we're not going to come back and ask for more money. We'll probably come back and ask to reallocate it somewhere.
Just a recap, this is because you know, that act passed in 2019, so this has been in the works for 5 years,
right,
at least, trying to figure out what this consolidation is going to look like. As you know, we've always been kind of short-staffed on the sheriff's office, and dispatchers work, and they work overtime, and they work holiday time, and they accrue all this vacation time and comp time and holiday time and all the different things, and it's hard for them to take off to actually use the time.
You know, and I'll just speak up here. There's a lot of moving pieces here, and both Sheriff Riles and Judge Dodson have been very, very firm in that we need to do what we can, that we don't do any harm to these employees. They're valuable employees. But I have to kind of brag on the city of Conway a little bit. Our members on the board went to the city, Mayor Castleberry, and asked him if there's anything that they could do. So typically when you terminate an employee, you know, you lose your health insurance, and then you go to work for a new employee, there's a 30-day wait and all that before you get on there. The city is actually going to go ahead and waive all of that, and the day that they're terminated, they'll be picked up on the city insurance. So we really appreciate them going that extra mile and helping us with that.
So this is my concern is, we had said, you know, every other employee, if they were leaving, they would get all of the same money. So what would happen to all those other employees? Would they get paid for their sick time? Or
all what other employees?
If they were terminated or if they quit, what would happen to their sick time? Because
you lose your sick time. That's a countywide policy. Yes, you lose your sick time.
These folks are losing their sick time.
That's correct.
But they didn't choose to be terminated. They didn't choose to leave.
They're transition.
Yeah, this was a mandate mandated by the state. So that these employees, from what I understand, they're losing all their sick time. What we're going above and beyond and doing is to compensate them for the amount of vacation hours they have beyond 240. Is that right?
Yeah, so Justice Coates, again, to answer your question, and I didn't go as far as I probably could have, but the city is going to go ahead and vest in the long-term employees. So the employees that have accumulated a lot of sick time, their accumulation rate, if they've been with us for 10 years, they will start as a 10-year employee with the city.
So
that'll help offset
that.
That's correct.
The same amount of sick time or whatever. Will that sick time that they've earned here transfer to
family?
No,
will not.
So they'll lose whatever sick time they've accrued here.
Just like any other employee that's terminated from the county, whether they quit, retire, or leave. But yeah, just like any other employee.
And I understand that part, but I also understand these dispatchers didn't have any choice in this.
That's why we want to go above and beyond on unused holiday pay and on unused vacation time.
Because they get vacation time, you know, I don't know, at 8 hours of pay period or whatever that amount is. They get the same amount of sick time at 8 hours per pay period, and then they get holiday time, like if they work Christmas or work some special holiday, they get double time, or I don't know what the equation is. Three different accruals there that are happening. The sick time is really the only one I think we can do anything about, like you just...
Right.
Because they can accrue up to 1,000...
480.
480 hours of sick time? Of sick time? Yeah. If you think about sick time, you know, it's not meant to be used as vacation time. You know, it's like contingency hours, you know, in case you were to get sick.
I understand that, but I've also seen the overtime amounts that come in and the overtime hours that those dispatchers have to spend because they're understaffed, short-staffed. Am I understanding it correctly?
I don't know.
So that's my concern, is I want our employees treated fairly. And I realize the county's doing all they can. I just feel like our hands are tied to a certain extent.
There are.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
One thing, and this, I'm going to say that this ordinance has a sister ordinance that goes in front of personnel, basically that personnel will hear that waives the 240-hour threshold
so
that we can pay out for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's numbered 24-34. This one's 24-35. So I think if, let's guess that personnel... If personnel passes this on to the full court, then it'll be heard in full court before ours will that actually appropriates the money. Mr. Higgins, I just want to understand this. For some reason, if 2434 doesn't pass out of personnel or the full court, and 2435 does pass, that money sits there but doesn't necessarily go anywhere.
That is correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
So what I passed out, this is primarily what I was going to show in personnel, and I'll still do so. But this just shows the time that we're talking about. So I removed the employee names. This is payroll information. I removed their name from the list. But you can see the top one has 339 hours accrued, and we have a maximum policy of 240. So until we go through the personnel committee and see what they have to say, but right now, if this person was to leave, we would pay them for 240 hours of vacation time. Our proposal it will be that we pay them for the full 339 plus the additional hours that they'll accrue, because this is just as of yesterday, plus the additional hours that they'll accrue for the next 3 months. My feel is that this is a very appropriate and beneficial to those employees, to your point, that haven't always been able to take off.
If I can jump in here, just because Administrator Higgins and I have talked a lot about this, and I really think from our perspective on the quorum court, and I know this is my feelings, like our hands are tied on the sick time, but that's why we wanted to meet tonight to go above and beyond to do what we can do to waive our requirements in the personnel manual to make sure, to show these employees, hey, we're thankful, we realize this is outside of kind of almost all of our circumstances, right? This is, it's a dictation by the state, we're going to consolidate, and I think this is the best thing we can do, and I think it's going above and beyond, and I think it's the right thing to do and the best way to handle. Out of all the options we have, this is the best it is.
I understand why it has to be done. I just don't necessarily like it.
Yeah. And let me also add, and I it should be self-evident here, but all these funds will come out of the ARP funds. It will not be coming out of County General. Any other employee, just like what we did for the coroner's office, will come out of County General. So this... 76, $77,000 will be coming out of the ARP fund.
Okay.
But do you know what the maximum amount of accrual of vacation hours are? For the count, like you only get
240.
So, no, I mean, they're allowed to accrue up to the, there's not a max, it's just that what they don't use by January, it'll roll back to 240.
Right.
Okay.
So we don't, and then they start at 240, they can accrue all the way up, and what they don't use, they'll lose it again back to 240.
The cutoff at December 31st.
Yes.
So this, just this dispatch supervisor has accrued, you know, 339 minus 240, so I guess 100 hours of vacation this year.
And if I'm not mistaken, the max is 240 plus holiday total between the two. So they're getting the 240 above that plus the holiday that they would have been capped at 240 for all of it.
Is holiday capped on an annual
Yes,
basis?
With the 240.
With the 240.
With the 240. The max would be 240 including holiday.
So December 31st, January 1 holiday hours goes to zero if your vacation hours is
well,
240.
Holiday expire after a year, so it rolls off a different way.
Okay.
But the max that they get paid out would be 240.
Yeah,
for
I'm
both.
Of how much they like. When do you stop keeping track of how many hours?
Never.
Hours?
Never.
There's no very county policy that I've seen that says that they can't accrue above the carryover rate throughout the year.
Right.
So
yeah.
We allow the employees to accrue vacation in exceeding the max, but when December 31st hits, we work with Margaret.
Is there a rule that you, is there, I'm just, sorry, I don't mean to dive into personnel stuff too much, but is there a rule that you have to, like, if you go to take vacation, you have to take holiday hours before you take vacation hours? Is there any rule like that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, I was just curious.
It's up to the employee what they request. It is in county policy that a supervisor can tell an employee that they have to take a holiday, but we can't force an employee to take a vacation day, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
And it's the employee's benefit to use the holiday first because that rolls off after 12 months.
Yep.
Of the pool.
Yep. That was serious.
So this process is going to be for the pool?
Yes.
Yeah, this is process.
Questions? Justice Coates?
I guess the only other thing that I have been concerned about is we keep using the word terminated. Is that how that will show up on their employee file?
That may be just a carryover from my corporate days and our HR form. So when an employee is no longer employed here, their employment is terminated. Whether they retire, it'll check retirement, but they're still terminated.
Mm-hmm.
If they resign, they resign, but they're still terminated. And if they die, they're dead, but they're still terminated. So terminated is just a term that I used to use in my corporate days. It's an employee that's no longer employed here, they're terminated. But it's not meant to be derogatory at all.
This is a reduction in force.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Just curious how that opened.
Yeah.
If I could add one more thing. Also, these employees will continue on being a vital part of the county and the city as a whole. And not that they're leaving or going anywhere. It's just, and they will be a vital lifeline to law enforcement entirely across the county. So they're still going to be here, and they're going to be a vital part to this county as they move forward.
You know, Sheriff brings up a good point. I certainly didn't want to go down this rabbit hole until Justice Coates forced me to. But the 911 PSAP board that we're working with the city, they've been very gracious in working with them. They've been up and operating now for about a month. Sean Kennedy is the new director of the 911 PSAP facility. He assures us that they're valuable employees. He's been very impressed already with the supervisors are already supervising on the overall integration part of it. I'm actually impressed. I was concerned going into this how much of a challenge it was going to be working, to be very blunt, working with the city through this. I'm pleasantly pleased to report that it's not been that way at all. It's been very, very positive. I hope Sheriff will agree with me. They're very, very positive to work with them. and they're very cognizant of the fact that they want to take care of these employees, because if they lose these employees, not only do they lose the headcount, but they lose the tribal knowledge that they bring on how they deal with the sheriff's office, because the city employees won't have that. So it's a win-win for us to make this work.
Yes, sir.
Are these positions funded out of the county general or criminal justice?
Actually, both. They are.
Both.
Both, yes.
Three, actually. County general, criminal justice, and then two are paid out of now we're going to use already.
So all three positions or all the positions are made up a composition of funding sources, is that right?
No, there are four. There are two out of 911 PSAP currently. Two out of
criminal
justice, and then the rest of them come out of sheriff's office election.
Yes.
County general.
Yeah, okay. And then my other question was, are you planning on discussing the rest of the $500,000 appropriation?
I can.
I'd love to hear about it, yeah.
So, fair enough, Mr.
Yep.
Mr. Chair. So the rest of the 500, we're still working on that. We know that we're going to have, without getting too much detail, so the city uses Southern software. We use ISONS software, so there's going to be an integration of that. It will be several hundred thousand dollars. We're not exactly sure. There may or may not be some state reimbursement, but if there is, it's after the fact, so we'll have to fund it upfront. There's also software that I just learned of the other day that has to do with tracking officers, so that if an officer goes down, they can push a button on their radio. It kind of turns in a 911 call to dispatch. We're both using it, but that's not compatible, so we're pricing how much that's going to cost. We anticipate around $100,000 for that. On top of that, we're at least two consoles that are going to have to be purchased, two additional Motorola consoles. They're pricing that out for us. And then secondly, they've looked at it. That building there is about 21 or 22 years old. They're running off of the same furniture, the same carpet. So I've asked them to work up a price of what it would cost to do a facelift in there while we're bringing the teams together for motivational purposes. That could be $10,000 or $15,000. So I would say at this point, of the $422,000, we may have about $300,000 of it accounted for, and there's still things coming in almost on a daily basis.
Did I hear you say you don't expect it to go over the $500,000?
No, do not expect it, not this time. So, just speaking for the judge, we anticipate that, as we've been very transparent about, those funds that we may not be using on any of these would probably roll in to help pay down debt on the jail.
Right.
That, you know, pursuant to you guys voting on it, of course, but that would be our direction.
Perfect. I think just the biggest thing to note is that, you know, this is at least the first three four appropriations here, or four line items in this appropriation, is that the top three are going to be contingent on the personnel ordinance 24-34. First, the personnel committee approving, you know, bypassing the rule, and then doing that also in full court. Any more questions? Just line.
If you don't mind, so Mr. Higgins, you mentioned on sick time they're going to be rolling over to the city with, let's say, a 10-year veteran, and they'll be accruing for sick time. Will it be the same for vacation?
Yes.
They'll come in as
yes.
A 10-year, okay. But,
exactly.
But they have to start at zero. They'll be zeroed out, though, when they start with the city.
That is correct.
Okay.
That's right. But they will come in fully vested. So a 10-year county employee will come
so
in as a 10-year
city. So instead of 4 hours as a new person, they'll accrue 10 or 15 hours?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's correct.
See no further questions. All in favor of passing 24-35 on the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Do we have any other business before Budget and Finance Committee? Committee members, the two that are here, I'll ask you just to think about putting in your calendars. It's an off day, and that's the, you know, I initially wanted to meet the first Tuesday of November to do budget meetings. But that is election day, so we're not going to do that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't think Margaret would allow us to
no.
do that.
No.
So we may look at Thursday, November 7th. Just initially look at that, see what you think. Like I said, we'd be doing, and instead of doing five different evening meetings, we might just try an all day, you know, bonanza. Started.
What day is that on, Tyler?
Thursday.
Because even though the 5th is elections, doesn't mean we're done. So it's a presidential. I'll have numerous provisional, and those are a very quick turnaround.
Okay.
And I have had over 500 of them to check in a couple of days, and I had to mail letters.
Okay.
So if we can go, I hate to put you into the next week because we're doing open enrollment. Tom, what day are we starting open enrollment on?
I think it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Could we start on Monday?
Monday.
The
11th?
Yes. Oh, never mind. That's Veterans Day. Yeah, let's start that day.
So what do you think, the 12th? Or is that no good?
Well, he's...
Because you're doing...
This room will be used for open enrollment. This will hopefully be our last year for physical open enrollment. But we have to do at least one more year of physical open enrollment.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it. Here's something now.
So, open enrollment, do we have to do it here? And not to put the sheriff on the spot, but would it be possible to utilize his training room downstairs?
Well, that'd be putting him on the spot, but and that's up to him. But we could move into courtroom B, but y'all, we use B too. Yeah, use both.
Okay.
I can set y'all up in my, and I could set you up in my room downstairs.
We'll see. We'll figure it out. Or we'll make 5 minutes.
Fourth floor, yeah. The jail.
Y'all elected officials, figure it out and get back with us and let us know what you think. I know it helps y'all more than anything for us to all knock it out in one day. So y'all just figure out what works. Anything else from the committee? All right. Budget and finance is adjourned.